Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 19, God's illustration of upright consistency in heeding him. When the Babylonians started to attack Jerusalem, Judah's king Zedekiah made a covenant with his people to release their fellow Hebrew slaves in obedience to the law. However, when the Babylonian army then temporarily withdrew its attack to battle the Egyptians, the people reneged on their covenant. This greatly displeased the Lord, so he had promised severely to punish Judah's people in Jeremiah chapter 34. However, in contrast to Judah's inconsistency in obeying the Lord, Jeremiah 35, verses 1 to 19, records God's illustration of upright consistency and how the Gentile Rechabites heeded their forefather. So we view it for our insight. I'd like to read the chapter, and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah chapter 35, beginning of verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers there, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our forefather, commanded us, saying, Ye shall not drink any wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall you build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you be sojourners. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our forefather, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us, nor to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard or field or seed, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came into the land that we said, Come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Assyrians. So we are now dwelling in Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will you not receive instruction to hearken unto my word, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but they obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and you shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your forefathers. But you have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded, but this people has not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the calamity that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your forefather, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he has commanded you, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. Tremendous passage. I love this. The Lord showed Jeremiah the consistency of the Rechabites in obeying their forefather Jonadab. When Jeremiah arranged for them to enter this temple chamber, Now, God told Jeremiah to bring the Rechabites into a chamber of the temple and to give them wine to drink. The Rechabites actually were a group of Gentiles that were related to the Kenites. The Kenites, remember, Moses had married a woman, Zipporah, who was a Kenite. And these were Kenites. These are people that lived out in the Sinai Peninsula. And the Rechabites apparently were related to them. They worked in metallurgy. They smelted iron and copper and those types of things. They worked with metals. But they were nomads. And their forefather had wanted them to remain nomads. So when Jeremiah arranged for them to enter the temple chamber and he set wine before them and ordered them to drink, the Rechabites refused to obey the command. They explained that their forefather Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that's why they're called Rechabites, had commanded his descendants not to drink wine, not to build houses, not to sow seed or plant vineyards, but to live as nomads in tents, in a puritanical style of life that they might prolong their days in the land of Judah where they sojourned. Apparently their forefathers said, you know, we're Gentiles, we are sojourners, we're strangers. It's better for us not to buy property, not to build land and everything, because then it becomes a competition with the people who are in the land. We don't want any problems with the people in the land. We're in the minority, so we're just going to be herdsmen. We're just going to go and live from one territory to another. In Nigeria, where I lived, northern Nigeria, there was a group of the tribal people known as the Fulanis. And the Fulanis were herdsmen. They herded cattle on foot. They were great big tall men. The Fulanis, incidentally, had never lost a battle. They always defeated the other tribes in the area. They were expert swordsmen. They were expert with the bow and arrow, and they were expert spearmen. But they did everything on foot, and they drove cattle on foot. And they didn't live in one place. They kept moving around on the savannah, and they were interesting. It was a very difficult group to reach for Christ because they moved around. Some people think that the Fulanis trace their lineage all the way back to whites mixing with blacks very, very early in the history of Africa, but we don't know. But they're very tall, very slender, and effective. But that's what this man wanted to be. He wanted his people to remain as herdsmen. Well, they explained that their forefather Jonadab had commanded his descendants not to drink wine, not to build houses, sow seed, or plant vineyards, but to live as nomads in a puritanical style, that they might prolong their days in the land of Judah where they sojourned. So these descendants of Jonadab would obey their forefather. And they did this whether they were men or women. They charged everybody. The girls had to do it. The guys had to do it. Everybody had to obey the laws of their forefather. So these descendants of Jonadab had obeyed their forefather. Only due to the extenuating circumstances of Nebuchadnezzar's invasion of the land had the Rechabites left the open country where they were vulnerable to attack, to move into the city of Jerusalem. That was a prudent thing for them to do, so that's why they were there. This consistent obedience of the Rechabites illustrated the steady obedience that God wanted from Judah. God's word then instructed Jeremiah to tell the people of Judah to learn from the example of the consistent obedience that the Rechabite nomads had practiced in relation to their forefather. The Lord critiqued Judah's people as not hearkening to him, their spiritual father, just opposite the illustration of the Rechabites. For the people of Judah had disobeyed God's many efforts to get Judah's people to turn from following false gods, opposite his commands to avoid such idolatry. So there's a tremendous contrast here. You've got pagans who are very stoutly sticking to the words of their forefather, not departing from it, and yet the people of Israel, in grand style, have repeatedly departed from the words of God. Tremendous contrast. So God then promised to punish inconsistency in obedience to him from Judah, and in contrast to reward consistency in obedience the Rechabites had practiced towards their forefather. Now what's interesting is God had never commanded these particular commands that Jonadab had given to his descendants. But the fact that these people had honored their forefather and obeyed his commands, even though they were excessive and puritanical, was something that God admired. And that's why he wanted to reward them. So since the people of Judah had disobeyed their Lord in contrast to how the Rechabites had faithfully obeyed their forefather, God said he would bring on Jerusalem the calamity that he had spoken against her. But God promised to reward the Rechabites for their faithfulness in heeding their forefather. God assured the Rechabites that in reward for their consistently heeding their forefather, they would never fail to have a man to stand before me. That is to stand before the Lord. Now that's a very important phrase in the culture of the day. Normally that indicated servitude. A servant would stand before his master waiting for orders from his master as to what to do. But when it's used as standing before the Lord, that's an exalted position. That's an exalted service. So the stand before me phrase was used of people in Israel or Judah who served as prophets, as officials of the kings, or priests in the temple. But since the Rechabites were presumably related to the Gentile Kenites as sojourners, the stand before me phrase likely indicated the Rechabites would always have descendants who would be able to worship the Lord, pointing to a continuing line along with other Old Testament Gentile believers like the widow Zarephath and Naaman the leper. And Jesus refers to these people, the widow of Zarephath and Naaman the leper, as believers in Luke chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. They were Gentiles in the Old Testament, but they became believers. And so we'll see these people in eternity. But we don't know who the Rechabites are today, but God is seeing to it that they are surviving. I don't know if they've intermarried with the Hebrews or not, but they will stand before the Lord. They'll have people who will be honored by the Lord. And apparently these people were believers. At an earlier time, Jehu, the son of Nimshi, when he was beginning to attack the house of Ahab, Jonadab, the father, here went out to meet him because Jehu was in the process of purging the land from Baalism, and Jonadab went to help because he wanted to help purge Baalism. So he was a man. Jonadab was apparently a believer in God, and he was opposed to the Baal worship as well. So it might be that these people might have actually been believers even though they were not Jewish. So the lesson is, in contrast to the way people of Judah and Jerusalem reneged on their promise to God to release their Hebrew slaves, the descendants of Jonadab the Rechabites consistently obeyed their father's prohibition against drinking wine and his directive that they live nomadic lives to enjoy a long life in Israel as sojourners. God used the Rechabites' consistent obedience to their forefather as just grounds to punish the men of Judah for their great disobedience to God's original commands to obey him in avoiding idolatry. God also promised that the Gentile Rechabites would not lack to have a man of their group stand before the Lord in worshiping him. So, in application, if God presented the Gentile Rechabites as examples of consistent obedience and heeding the call of their forefather to live a puritanical, nomadic way of life that was not even required in Scripture, and if he promised to reward these Gentiles with permanence as a people before him, he strongly desires that we, his people, consistently heed his word. So may we then value consistently heeding God's word. Some time ago as a board we had discussed, it might have been in the last board meeting, I forget, we had discussed whether we should have a meeting, whether we should meet here on the 4th of July and so forth. And it brought to memory the time when we had a Mother's Day here years ago. Of course, Mother's Day comes on Sunday. And we had decided that since so many people often were busy visiting their mothers who were in restrooms and so forth, that we would just canceled the service, the Sunday night service for Mother's Day. So we did. Well, Lucy and Marge Kassir were not here for the morning service, but they wanted to come for the evening service. So they showed up for the evening service, and they waited in our parking lot for a half hour. And then Marge finally said, "Lucy, I don't think they're going to have the service tonight." So they went home. Well, Marge told me about it the next Sunday, and I felt so bad. I felt I'd really let them down. I just assumed people weren't going to show up because normally, you know, there aren't that many people. So at that point, I vowed with the Lord. I said, from now on, we're going to have a service. The only time we don't have a prayer meeting on Wednesday is if it's December 25th, because I for sure don't know that anyone shows up. But if the board decided we were going to have prayer meeting on December 25th, yeah, okay, I'll do that. But I really felt strongly about that, so I shared with the board No, I really feel that we should have the service. And I didn't know until I came here tonight and checked in the book, and that on 2012, we had a July 4th Wednesday prayer meeting on a July 12th, and we have, 8 prayer requests there too. So we have a precedent for that. But after making that decision, I started to study this passage, and I thought, oh, wow, I find this as applicational. And I believe the Lord wants us to practice consistency in our walk with Him. Now, I'm not saying it's sin not to come up to prayer meeting on the 4th of July or anything. I'm just, for me in my walk with the Lord, I feel very strongly impelled as a pastor always to hold a service, even if nobody came. I feel it's important to be here just in case, so that we provide consistency. The Lord just convicted me of that. But I do know that consistency is a tremendous need today. There is a tendency many times for Christians to start off being faithful in something and just to peter out. And God doesn't want that. God wants us to be faithful. And faithfulness is extreme. In fact, the Bible says one thing is required of a steward, that he be found faithful, that he be found consistent. So may God help us to be consistent in our followership of Him, our commitments to Him.